CNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Halen. You got Corey Majors. And, of course, Alec Medford.
I'll also say, Kevin, we have the very fortune of having Brandon Hurtado up here right now, and he brought in some food. He brought brisket. He brought Texas Twinkie, and he has a new sausage that I think is amazing.
What is a Texas Twinkie?
It's the pepper stuff with brisket and cheese and all the stuff, and then it's wrapped in bacon.
So the brisket was so good that I took the last piece, even though it was the last piece, without consulting anybody. You know, usually, look, you know, usually, you're like, oh, yeah, does anybody over, do you want to split it? Like, you don't mean you want to split it, but you have to, like, have normal social graces, maybe. But it was so good that I was like, you know what? Eric's loving this sausage. I'm going to go ahead and just take that. Yoink. And it was freaking delicious.
Eric loving the sausage because it's a good sausage.
Yes, absolutely, it is.
I almost did.
You almost slipped up there, Majors.
I'm proud of you.
I am.
You're doing great.
I texted Adrian and said I'm going to be exhausted tonight. Just be prepared. I'm going to need a nap when I get home.
Very rare that the man gets to tell the woman he's too tired. All right.
Jeez.
So I didn't make any kind of deal.
All right. This is what you get when the void has to be filled.
Exactly. Exactly. So, rookies who most need to succeed in year one in the NFL for their teams. Okay, I want to dive into this list.
Okay.
But first, I want to talk about somebody who is not on this list that I think should be on this list. And I know you agree. And he just got brought up by Schottenheimer in the presser. Tyler Booker. Now, for example, number one on the list from NFL.com is Travis Hunter. Look, that makes all the sense in the world to me. You're going to be depending on him to do some stuff offensively and defensively. You're going to try to resurrect your quarterback. You've got a new era starting in Jacksonville, and they were terrible last year. I understand all of that. But I wanted to start with Tyler Booker first because I think he will be good.
Mm-hmm.
But man, are the Cowboys pinning a lot of hopes for their offensive line on he can plug and play at a really good level.
You're dead on there. And that's where I'm a little, I know what I watched, you know,
for
like
sure.
And you know, Broadus and Wolchuk, they watch the same stuff. I know what I watch. And if anybody, a lot of people probably do the same thing that I've done for the last few years. Now, there was a period of time when I tried to watch 200 players and I tried to do that. And I was like, man, I don't know how Broadus and those guys do it.
Yeah.
Not having three kids helps. That is definitely something that helps.
Yeah.
When I saw Booker, I was like, oh, man, all these qualities like...
You said, oh, man, or...
Oh, man! When I saw it, I was like, okay, he's got a lot of these great qualities that I like. Plus, he comes from Alabama. You kind of always have to feel like you like that a lot. And the idea is that's just going to transition easily to the pro level. Last year, coming into the season, everybody had questions about Tyler Guyton. Everybody was like, nobody was like, he's going to be perfect. We all were going, no, there's going to be some work to do because he's raw. That was the exact conversation about everything was, but I think he's going to be pretty good. Now, he didn't turn out to be very good at all last year. And I think, Kevin, there's not as much pressure on Booker because more people are focused in on Tyler Guyton.
Okay.
And the unknown of Booker against the known is we know that that guy wasn't good last year. He's got to be better. Booker just kind of gets thrown into the conversation. He'll be fine because he's good. We haven't seen him be bad yet.
From the 817, I'm at Hurtado's in Mansfield right now.
Oh, well, really?
I'm glad that you texted that in because that is the perfect segue for Brandon Hurtado to jump on with us. But you know what? Real quick, while we're getting him set up, Travis Hunter leads the way. Ashton Jeanty, we already talked about him earlier in the show, how he was like, hey, I want to have one of the greatest rookie seasons you can ever possibly imagine. And that makes a lot of sense. Matthew Golden is on the list, as is Tet McMillan. So the receivers are represented as well. We wanted to bring up Tyler Booker because it feels like that is going to be very important to the Dallas Cowboys' success for the upcoming season. Right now, speaking of success, the man who has taken over Bucky's now with his book, Brandon Hurtado, thank you for letting us take you away from what you were actually supposed to be doing and jumping on air with us.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Right. We're good.
Two important questions, and they're equally important. Do you think the Stars are going to win tonight? And do you think we could get a copy of your book for Alec? He is very poor. He loves his dad. Could we help him out with that?
I know the answer to one of those things for sure. Well, I can definitely help you out with a book.
I really thought he was going to say the Stars were going to win. I really...
That would have been great. I would have took it.
The Stars have to win, right?
I mean, sure.
It's at home. The energy is incredible. I was at one of the games, the home games last series, and playoff hockey is just absolutely incredible at the AAC. So,
whether it's the first period of this last game, whether it's going back to game one in the third period, are there signs that you see that lead you to believe, outside of what we feel in our heart, that they can win this game tonight?
I don't know. I think we need Paige Bueckers to make another visit because they seem to play pretty damn well whenever she's in the this.
We know her. Let's see if we can get that going.
We're best friends, so that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Compare that in that arena to that first year, because I don't know how many, because y'all were still in the pop-up, I believe, for the Rangers at the time. We all weren't in the stadium. Oh, y'all were in the stadium.
We were there the first year when we went to the World Series.
Okay, yeah. Compare the World Series vibe to the Stars, because I've always said Stars, it seems like they are the most raucous crowd in DFW.
Well, I mean, I think the intimacy of being inside Globe Life Field versus AAC is just different, right? It's on a different level. There's more people, obviously. When you're inside AAC, it's like you're jam-packed and the energy is just really, really high. So playoff hockey is on a completely different level, I think, even than championship baseball.
Now, we did see yesterday, and I saw your post. I did see your post. You guys, you and your family have done a phenomenal job of growing this thing here in DFW. But the top 50 came out for Texas Monthly. Unfortunately, Hurtado was on the honorable mention list, which I disagree with, and I think all of Texas does as well. That being said, the barbecue community, there's some strong names in there, and you guys, y'all have all like grown this thing. When we talked a few years ago, you were like, it's a really strong community, it's just keeping growing, and it seems like that thing just keeps adding more to it.
Here's the thing. I mean, even to be the top 100 barbecue joints in the state, there's over 2,600 barbecue restaurants across the state. So even to be mentioned in the top 100 is a really big honor for us. It's more about what list are we on with the people that are walking in those doors, paying our bills every day. How can we make, you know, the common layperson happy? How can we keep reinventing ourselves to be relevant in 2025 when there's so much competition every day? And I think we're doing that. You know, we're the official barbecue of Texas Rangers, and you know, they're playing World Series baseball the first year that we're in there. I mean, that's amazing to us. So we've accomplished a lot of really great things in just a matter of 5 years.
Yeah, and how's the new Dallas store rocking? It looks gorgeous.
It's beautiful, and we're actually using that location to R&D all of our new sausages. We're making all of our sausages in house there. And we're coming out, as a matter of fact, with a new sausage tomorrow, a beef fajita sausage that we're going to have at all of our locations this weekend.
I just had some.
R&Ding that with Eric Chiafalo too, right? You need him to cycle through all this food, right?
He's the sausage guy for sure. Yeah. We got to have him try all the wieners first.
Now, you get our show. The book.
I have to be serious today.
So. That's right. He's not allowed to be sarcastic
today.
Can't
be sarcastic.
The book Barbacoa. You can buy it on Amazon. It has a 4.7 star rating, which is amazing. Do you want me to start listing off any names that didn't give you 5 stars and we could fix that up?
Put them on blast right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold on. I'm looking at you, happy, frugal shopper. 4 stars ain't going to do. We need 5 stars.
817. I frequent the Fort Worth location. I love the Bidia tacos from the 817. Went to high school with Brandon. Good dude. Great food. Irving High 07. And from the 806, you do you, bro. This list is cool. But DFW rides and dies with Hurtado. So there's a lot of love a lot more love coming in there, too. You've always been super helpful with us with Peace-a-thon.
Yes.
And anytime we've been hungry out at the stadium, so we always appreciate that. And the book, man, like, what's it like being an author?
You know, it's crazy. I never intended to write a cookbook. We just are so creative in the restaurant, and we're trying to constantly come up with new dishes. And along with that, you have recipes, right, that you develop over time. And whenever the publishing company, they're out of New York, they convinced me to write this cookbook. I didn't know if it was going to do well or not. And then to see that the type of just attraction that it's gotten, you know, and to be inside Bucky's, all Bucky's locations yes. across multiple states. And it's inside Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. I mean, we've sold almost 15,000 copies so far in just a matter of 2 months, which is insane. So super appreciative. And we're working on taking this thing nationwide.
One person who did not give you 5 stars on Amazon. Don't worry. It wasn't all Wild Bird Lover. They did give you 5 stars.
Okay.
Said they needed a more specific definition of beef cheeks.
Yeah.
Can you explain beef cheeks to the people and to Harvey Jarvis?
The cheeks on a beef. It's the cheek of beef, right? It's a beef cheek. It's on a cow. It's a cow's cheeks.
Tender.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is it tender? Is that what it is? Or is it fat, high in fat?
Super gelatinous.
Okay.
Beef cheeks are very gelatinous. It's where, you know, barbacoa is traditionally from the whole cow's head, but the beef cheek is what you can get in the restaurant and it's easy to cook. So that's what we use on Friday through Sunday. At all of our locations, we have our big red barbacoa on feature. So that is beef cheeks. And if you don't know what cheeks are, put your hands on the sides of your face and squeeze them.
But don't cook those.
Yeah, don't. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so stars and seven is what I'm hearing after all of this.
Stars and seven.
Let's go. Brandon Hurtado, again, we took him away from the actual work that he was doing.
Yeah, he's very busy doing real things.
He could jump on here. The least you could do is go buy the book, Barbacoa, The Heart of Tex-Mex Barbecue. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway where we have a stick figure ticket giveaway, AM on the FM, and next, Brian Ray right here on The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Brian Ray in just a second, but first, I think we need to pour one out for Here We Go. Because Schottenheimer said they're looking at changing up the cadence in the snap count. Corey Majors. Does that mean it is no longer, yeah, here we go?
If that's the case, it makes a lot of sense.
Because you could time it.
Tony Romo used to do this too. He'd wait till the last second of the clock.
I hated that. Because if I'm a defensive player, I'm just jumping after that second.
As soon as I see, you got to mix it up. You got to go various different times, and you can go based on the clock, but give yourself 3 seconds instead. Give yourself a little bit of a different time. So here we go. In my mind, if I'm a defender, I just heard it. I'm ready at any second. I can jump off.
Right now, we bring to you Dallas Stars TV host and analyst, Emmy Award winner. It is Brian Ray. Brian, how are you dealing with the news that the Cowboys might no longer say, yeah, here we go, before they snap the ball?
So the beautiful thing is I have no idea what you're talking about.
What?
I have a morning skate for a game 5 to see if the Dallas Stars can survive this and somehow flip it around. I have been in the ultimate black hole tunnel vision of playoff hockey, right?
Okay.
I love it.
All right. I love it. Don't
worry about it.
We'll text you later.
I have a hockey question for you. Hey, can the Stars play competent 5-on-5 hockey to keep this thing going? Because what is the deal, man?
Can they? Yes. And as brutal as the last game was, the 2 goals that Edmonton scored were power play goals. Yes, they added empty netters. Yeah. So Dallas has been building their 5-on-5 game as the series has gone along. Here's the problem. We have now reached DEFCON 1, and it is no more building games. It is no more building elements to your game. It is you need goals, you need wins, and you need answers. And that is the big question we're going to see tonight is this team has now been pushed to a place it has really not been pushed to yet, really since the Colorado series, to get this to 7 games. So they have now been pushed to that place against the hardest dragon that they have had to slay so far.
Yep.
And we're going to learn if this team is up to the challenge. And having said all that, we do have to give some credit to the Edmonton Oilers. It's not like this is, you know, a middling team that came in here. It's a pretty darn good hockey team on the other side. And this is what happens when you get to the Final Four, that you are the 4 elite teams of this season in the NHL. And it really can come down to a 1% difference that will separate who moves on versus who doesn't. And right now, Edmonton has had that 1%. Sometimes it's felt like 2%,
yeah,
but they've had that extra 1% so far.
I saw the line that DeBoer said that the being down 2-0 to Vegas was more daunting than this. Can you elaborate a little more on that, on what do you think he's thinking there?
Yeah, I don't know if I can elaborate because I'm not in his head.
Yeah.
When I heard that line, first of all, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to tell Edmonton that.
Yeah, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 2025. I don't know if we're still in the old locker room bulletin board material of sports as we used to be, you know, a decade ago or two decades ago. But I was like, I don't know if I want to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
But look, to be down 2-0, having lost both games at home against the defending Stanley Cup champions and having to go on the road to try and find an answer, that's what Dallas walked into last year. This year, you're down 3-1 to the team that came within one game of winning the Stanley Cup last year, but you at least get two of the final three games on home ice. So I can understand from a looking at it side by side component, those are two difficult scenarios. But the bottom line is this: it's not about what was going on last year against Vegas. It's not about what's gone on in this series so far. It really is, and it's so cliche, but cliches are born from reality. You have to win one period right now.
Yeah.
And it's the first period.
Yeah.
After you win that, you have to win the next period. And then once you're finished through that, you have to win the period after that. And then at the end of the night, if you've done that, you will have won the game. And now you start thinking about, okay, what do we do when we go into Edmonton for game six?
How frustrating is it then when by every other metric you have won the period, but you're trailing on the scoreboard? Because that's what the first period was in that last game.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how hockey players, especially ones that are paid to score goals, I don't know how they deal with that. And then we get to ask them about it the next day and the next day and the next day. And I was just doing a thing with Seve. And look, this is going to be a thing until it's not a thing. And if Dallas could get the first goal tonight, and if they could get the first goal from somebody not named Mikko Rantanen or Roope Hintz or Mikael Granlund, that top line, then it's no longer a thing. But until that puck goes in from somebody down that lineup, this will continue to be a thing. And it sounds strange to say, how do you will a puck across the goal line? And even Peter DeBoer, I really liked his line today. He was asked about this exact thing, about the lack of depth scoring and having these conversations with your players. And he said, listen, you cannot coach the puck across the goal line. You know, you can do everything else as a player to prepare yourself. You can do everything else as a coach to try and put a game plan in place, put people in places to succeed, et cetera. But you can't coach the puck across the goal line. I really do think if Dallas can just get one to go, it will, the weight comes off the shoulders. They start to feel a little bit less pressure. That's just one less thing to worry about. They're back to feeling normal like themselves again. And talking with Matt Duchene at Morning Skate today, he said, look, we're on a cold streak right now. But what usually comes after a cold streak? A hot streak. The challenge for them is they have to find a way to get this thing over with. And you don't want to change who you are as a player. You don't want to throw your entire mantra out the window because that's what's gotten you to this point. You know, you just have to stay within yourself and within your process, and you have to mentally believe that it's coming. When you have a first period like the Dallas Stars did, you should believe that something is coming. You really should, because as you said, they dominated every single metric except the most important one.
Yep.
And you have to hope. This is the fun part about being a fan. We got to hope. Don't panic. Don't freak out. We got to keep our composure, like Will Ferrell said in Old School. And we just got to hope. It's coming tonight.
Yeah. Kevin, I kind of compare that a little bit with the Rangers. Get a couple runs early and you start feeling a little more comfortable. You know. And I know Brian doesn't know who the Rangers are right now because he's so focused on the
Stars. I grew up on baseball.
Okay. All right. I was just going with what you told me earlier.
Now, having said that, now, since you brought it that way, yes, get a couple of runs early. Or a Corey Seager bomb right in the leadoff at bat would be nice here at American Airlines Center. Let's get the building just lit up 5 minutes into this hockey game.
Now, I would have thought, hey, yesterday the Rangers got a hit to start the game. And then that was the only hit they got.
Okay.
Look, now, Kevin, okay. All right. Thing. We're talking about hockey.
We're talking about hockey right now.
So I would have thought hockey logic would have dictated that after Hyman went out, the physicality would shift or perhaps maybe even be even. But that didn't seem to happen whatsoever in the last game. And now you've got Jeff Skinner coming in. I'm curious what you thought about the physicality post Hyman and then what Jeff Skinner can do.
What Jeff Skinner can do, I'm not totally sure. He's kind of had an up and down season, and he has not really been a main player in these playoffs. This, you would think this could play into the Stars' hands a little bit because Jeff Skinner is essentially entering this series, you know, or these playoffs after a long layoff, and it's a different pace of play, you know, in a situation like this. Like there could be a rust factor, and you hope that could benefit the Dallas Stars. In terms of the physicality, it's, you know, it's not like a thundering body check type of physicality. But when I think about the Stars needing to play a little bit of a heavier game, to use some hockey lingo for you, I go back to the middle of the ice. And so when you're watching this game tonight, look at how many white Edmonton Oilers jerseys are between the two faceoff dots down low in front of the goal crease. Because for the last handful of games, yes, it has looked like a wall, a force field. And so from a physicality standpoint, I think we are at the point where Dallas, yes, you're going to have to send one guy, but you're going to have to send a second, possibly a third, to just bulldoze your way through that wall and find a puck to score a goal. And I was doing a nerdy analytics dive yesterday. So Stuart Skinner, the Edmonton goaltender, the average distance of the goals he has given up in the playoffs is between 14 and 15 feet. It's the second lowest of any regular goaltender in the playoffs this year. LA's Darcy Kemper is the only one ahead of him. 15 feet from the goal is that exact area that I'm talking about, and that exact area that Edmonton has been trying to take away from the Dallas Stars, between the two faceoff dots and right towards the blue paint. If that's the average distance of where he's given up his goals, that tells me that's where you're going to have to score from. So what can you do to get to that area and win a battle to get a shot on Stuart Skinner? And that's the biggest thing that I'm watching in this game tonight.
Can I put out hope that Jason Robertson is one of the people that can help you get that done? I know you said anybody, hopefully outside of the first line. He's had goals in two straight games, though. I know the one a couple games ago was not really necessarily his goal. But is there hope that he can continue what looked like some momentum in the last game?
Yes, there is hope. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the goal that he scored, but it technically wasn't his, or it didn't seem like it. Let's look at that goal a little bit. If you go back and watch the highlight, there was a shot taken from the perimeter and Skinner gave up a juicy rebound. And Jason Robertson was actually being boxed out by an Edmonton player. Mm-hmm. And he fought through the box out and almost kind of tomahawk chopped at the puck. It didn't go on net. It fluttered over the net. But because he was able to get to that puck physically fighting through a box out, Edmonton's defense now is turned around looking behind the net. They fall out of sorts, and the Stars gain possession. They feed the puck out to Bischel. He gets the shot off. And Jason Robertson got the goal because he tipped it. Where was he standing when he tipped it? Right in front of the blue paint in that little zone where Stuart Skinner has given up goals. So, yes, there is hope because Jason Robertson on that goal, not once but twice, got to that 15-foot area that Dallas has had a hard time penetrating, and it finally gave the Oilers problems. Yes, there's hope, but that goal that he scored two games ago, I look at that and I'm like, that's your formula. That is how you need to find a way to score goals the way this series has gone. If you can get one or two and get a lead, Now Edmonton's going to start to open things up a little bit, and maybe you get some space to score more of those pretty goals, off-the-rush goals, tic-tac-toe passing plays that we're used to seeing from this team. But that's the type of goal you need to go get first for me.
Is there an angle you can take away from Draisaitl? Because it seems like every angle out there is one that he can score from. And it just seems like he kind of bullies his way near the net a lot of times.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, if you look at him, he physically looks like Rantanen a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite as big, but he kind of has a similar build. And you see what Mikko Rantanen can do. Can you take an angle? I don't know. The guy scored 52 goals. It's kind of like, it was such a strange goal to see, because when I first saw it, I was like, could Ottinger have gotten that? What did they do wrong? But also, sometimes you just... The guy's the leading goal scorer in the NHL. Like, sometimes the guy is just better than you at something. Unfortunately, it stinks when you're the one on the other side of it. But, I'd say that the angle on that, don't take the penalty. That's how you take away the angle.
There you go.
Don't put him on the power play.
After the morning skate today, did you get a chance to remind everybody that for the Stars that they can still take shots in the third period?
Well, and you got to give, I mean, Edmonton also is doing such a good job of keeping them from it.
They're winning the series 3-1. Screw Edmonton. That's fine. You're right. Sometimes they're just better. But I 7 shots on goal in the last 2 third periods, I can't, that doesn't make sense to me no matter how well Edmonton is playing.
And Brian, I think that also somebody just texted this in, ask him about the Stars' passing efficiency. It seems like it's bad. And I guess that goes to that, Kevin. It feels like the puck hasn't stuck to their sticks the way that it is for Edmonton, Brian. That's kind of what I'm feeling, is the puck's being passed around. That's how they're not getting those shots off, because they're pressing a little. It feels like they're pressing a little bit in the third period.
Pressing. That's the word I was going to use, is pressing. Look, this is the frustration of playing a really, really good team, or a team that's giving you problems on the other side of a playoff series. Whether it's passing efficiency, whether it's the amount of times they miss the net despite being so strong in that first period, everything like that. When you have a goaltender who's not letting anything in, when you have a defense that is not giving you any space in the offensive zone to make a play, it starts to creep in a little bit. Do we have to make a more perfect play to try and get something through? Do we have to make one extra pass? Seve's term is overpassitis, which I love. Yes, but how many times in anything, in any kind of hobby, in any kind of sport, when something is getting frustrating, or no matter what you're doing, it's not working, you start to just, it's human nature to try and alter or change or adjust or fine-tune something a little bit further, and it goes against you even more. That is what I thought Edmonton did to the Stars in these last 2 games. And credit Edmonton. This is a team that already knows how to get to a Stanley Cup final, and they've been on a mission themselves. They've been on the same mission as the Stars.
Yeah.
It's the unmovable object, the unstoppable force, colliding. You have home ice, you have matchup dictation, you have one game to save your season right now. That is the only thing that matters. Whatever occurred in the last 2 third periods, whatever occurred in Edmonton, whatever problems you've had, on the road, worry about that when that scenario presents itself. But right now you only have one scenario, and that's win the first period.
We're not going home.
And now you're at your most desperate time. So we'll worry about the third period shots when we get to the third period. It's so cliche, but it's how you have to think about this game. And no, I did not remind them, because I'm the last person that needs to tell any of these people how to play hockey at an NHL playoff level.
All right. Just saying. Sounds like you could have helped. I'm just kidding, Brian.
I'll give Pete a quick call after
there
this.
There you go.
I'll just let him know. Hey, Pete, just a quick reminder. I thought you should hear it from me.
The fellas on KNC suggested
hey,
this. So
you know what? You
I'm
do
sure
that.
He won't hang up on me.
Do that and tell him one more thing. Doesn't even have to have a whole interview tomorrow. I'll give him the phone number to call in if they win and be like, hey, dumbass, I heard your snarky little comment yesterday, and looks like we figured it out. Tell him I will give him free rein for that.
Oh, I will give him your phone number. Tell him to do that.
Thank you very much, good sir. Good sir. Go Stars.
Believe. We got to believe,
yes,
guys.
Yes, sir.
Believe.
There you go. Brian Thanks, Ray, the man who we hope knows everything about hockey.
I believe. And I mean, all those things, dude, that's the stuff we're hoping happens tonight.
Live college softball update. We're Believe it or not, Jolie Mitchell is the first player in Texas history to hit multiple home runs in a College World Series game. There you go. Thought you might want to know that. Now it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time, 4 a.m. on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. We've got the question of the day coming up in just a moment. It's tied into a pretty awesome college baseball story that we're going to get into here in just a moment. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer the question of the day. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. And I got to say, I never feel smarter than I do in the moments after I listen to Brian Ray speak.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just feel like I am as smart as anybody on the face of the planet. So... Yeah, I'm going straight to the group chat.
I'm confused. Yeah, it sounded like you're saying Brian Ray sounds dumb and it makes you feel smarter.
No, because he's a wealth of information.
Okay. I feel like I
understand hockey in like a 3D level now.
Okay.
You know, every time he speaks, he's breaking down analytics about the distance of goals on average that Skinner is giving up and how it's the shortest compared to all the other goalies that, you know, you would think are better, but, you know, they're giving up longer goals and they're seeing things in a different way. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He just makes me feel so dumb at times, and then afterwards I'm like, I feel like I could talk hockey with anybody. This is awesome. Today's a great day.
I got you. No, I now I understand, Alec.
You're trying to make another enemy for me.
Yeah, and we got you a free book.
Yeah. Well, we did.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what?
I was gonna make a joke and then decided not to.
You almost slipped up again.
I am trying so hard today. I've told Adrian I'm going to be exhausted by the end of this day.
Mm. Ironic, come on, Kevin.
This is so difficult.
Well, the question of the day today, gentlemen, is going to be, you could probably make some jokes about it. I'm sure there will be some on the fan text, but what is your ultimate comfort food? 877-881-1053. The one food that you can always count on to get the job done.
Man, this probably shouldn't be my answer, It immediately popped in my head. I love yellow Laffy Taffy. And here's
That's
the thing.
So specific.
I know. And here's why.
The banana flavor?
Yeah. Because the rest of Laffy Taffy is inferior to the banana one. And the other reason that it comes to mind is I'm a hefty person.
It's smooth. It is a smooth bite.
And it takes longer to eat. So the problem with me is I'll just be like, and so it takes longer to eat, and then hopefully I will not consume as much.
This is interesting because most banana flavored things I feel don't taste good. Like banana runts, they were the cool one because they were shaped different.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody, you just are like, oh, and then you felt like you could put them in your lip or something, like it was a chew. I don't know.
Did I ever tell you I invented a controversial candy that I thought would kind of compete with that?
You're going to say what the name is?
Couldn't get it approved in the stores because
Stunts,
of the name.
If you will.
Oh, I think I know where that's going.
It took
but
too long.
I've always found that I just want to let the Twitch know every time they say go home Choppy, because I'm logged in as Choppy on the Twitch, it makes me smile. They always go home Choppy. I appreciate that. The banana flavored things just don't taste right. But Laffy Taffy, Kevin,
top
is
notch.
The one thing that I will say. Like, even banana pudding doesn't taste like banana to me unless it has bananas in it and Nilla wafers. Like, that's the way that it's supposed to be made.
Yeah.
I think right now specifically, it's the Heath bar. If I go find a Heath bar, that has done, that's done its job for me.
Yeah.
And that's a recent thing. I don't know exactly why it's the Heath bar right now, because usually it's pizza.
How do you feel about the Score bar then?
I don't love the Score bar.
Oh.
And I feel like I should, but I've always just felt like the Heath was the original in my mind.
Yeah.
But I bet the Score bar is older than the Heath bar. Look it up, somebody.
Okay.
I really do wish that I had somebody that could just be like, look that up real quick. This morning I heard Sean, he was like, hey, Peyton, look up the stats on this. And I was like, man, what a cool thing to just be able to say, look that up real quick. Write that down.
Yeah.
You know, like Van Wilder. That would be awesome. But I don't. But the Heath bar is really rocking for me right now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that y'all both went candy, because that's not the first thing that comes to mind for comfort for me. But now that y'all say that, I do have it. I'm changing my answer.
Ooh.
It was going to be more of an entree, but I do think the mini M&Ms that come in the little tube.
Oh yeah.
Those are an elite candy, and not just an elite candy. They're an elite food on the face of planet Earth. The proportions are perfect. I don't know how to explain it. And I don't feel like I'm satisfied after clearing one of those little tubes. I know y'all had Gojo on at the Super Bowl, and he was he was like, I used to pregame with those on Halloween night. I'm like, yes.
Pregaming candy on.
He's like, y'all taking shots of, you know, vodka. I'm taking shots of these little mini M&Ms. Yeah. You can down that, the mini tubes, you can take those down in almost one attempt. Like, that's amazing. And I love those. Anytime I see one, like, I don't know, sometimes they'll pop up randomly in the house. I'll just kind of put it in the pocket and be like, oh, it disappeared.
Really?
Know. Yeah. It's happened a couple times.
Now, let me ask you then, because you said the minis. Do you like regular M&Ms?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm out on those, but I like the minis.
I think the minis are better.
I think the
They're better.
I think peanut M&Ms are the best version. Like, that's my favorite version.
Agreed.
But thank you guys. I'm glad we all agree. This, what a show we are. Mm. You know, what a show. I don't love regular M&Ms, but I do love the mini M&Ms. And that's weird to me, and I don't know why. If you can explain that, I'd appreciate. Look it up, please.
Okay.
Let's see, 877-881-1053, the double stack from Wendy's from the 972.
Oh, that's actually a really good one right there.
You know what was mine? And I know Ruben Portillo can vouch for this. When we would do like West Coast Ranger games and we're getting out of here at like 1 a.m, the McDonald's right down there, the number 7, 2 cheeseburgers, fries, and a drink. And, you know, during like the COVID season, that thing was only like $4.99. That was the perfect way to go home.
Oh.
Yeah, it was amazing. I even have a card, I think it was for my graduation, that Ruben wrote for me, and he put like, P.S., the number 7 is still the elite meal in fast food.
There you go.
And I'm like, see? That's a ball knower right there. Mashed potatoes from the 601, that's really solid. This one is one of them for me from the 817, Doritos.
Okay.
Doritos are very easy.
I'm not disputing mashed potatoes. That's interesting, though, because a lot of the, like, the chips, the candy, those feel easily grabbable.
Yes.
Whereas mashed potatoes, it feels like you have to put some semblance of effort, probably,
exactly,
somehow, to make that
you
happen.
You have to have a fork or spoon.
Do you?
Or, I guess you can use your hand forks.
Yeah. I mean, they're...
What?
Your hand forks.
They're God's forks, you know?
Sounded kind of sarcastic to me.
I mean, that's, you actually can use them. I don't. What are you doing right now? I'm trying to win a $100 gift card.
I think I'll allow that one. Yeah, I think I piled on that one and made it more sarcastic than it was.
Okay.
The reason I asked this question, gentlemen, is because UNC baseball star Luke Stevenson is really good at baseball. And there might be a key to why he is really good. During the ACC tournament, he was spotted up on the railing in the dugout eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh.
In the middle of the game.
Was it an Uncrustable or a regular sandwich?
It was a homemade PB&J. The thing is, he claims it's a very specific and special secret recipe that he uses. And like, he was even on there. I didn't want to run the audio because he was super vague about it, but there's a special kind of bread that goes into it. That he says it's like way softer than your typical white bread. I don't know. It sounded weird. But he eats an inhumane amount of these to the point where the reporter for the ACC tournament broadcast got some numbers from his family. He makes over 1,500 PB&J sandwiches per year.
Really?
If you do the math,
that's like 4 a day.
Yep, that's a little over 4 per day and 125 per month. Some other stats to note. It's about 3,000 pieces of bread, 150 loaves. That's an estimated 150 jars of peanut butter and 150 jars of jelly needed per year for one person. I know months ago we talked about the story about pro sports teams going through crazy amounts of Uncrustables.
Yeah.
But he makes these. He has to go get the ingredients and put together 1,500 per year.
Do you think most people try to even out the peanut butter and jelly in the sandwich? Like, I know it can't be perfect, but you like try to get it as even as possible.
No, I'm more peanut butter than jelly.
Oh.
Right now I do have an Uncrustable in the fridge though.
Oh, you look.
Those do seem like they have slightly, and it's raspberry flavored.
Ooh.
This is new. I love it. But it does seem like there's slightly more peanut butter than there is jelly on that.
Okay.
But I'm of the group that's like, give me a thick group of peanut butter.
Okay.
And some jelly on it. And sure. For me, it is definitely strawberry jelly.
I like that. I'm going to have to try those.
There you go.
That's my thumb.
There's AM on the FM. You know, I do feel like there's one thing we have to do before.
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10.
Now,
we'll win a pair of tickets to see Stick Figure at Dos Equis Pavilion on June 27th. You can, of course, buy tickets or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Coming up next, time for the C Block.
The handshake line. Will we see it tonight? Hopefully not. Next on The Fan.